Witchcraft in the church. Haunted houses, cursed lands. Is it all just silly superstition, or can a place actually be spiritually charged? What are we really dealing with? Demon possession, modern day manifestations, deliverance, darkness. You're about to be exposed.
Guys, that was so creepy and so good. Welcome to The Pulse. That was the sneak peek of season 2 of The Counter. The first 4 episodes, my friends, they are dropping next Monday, the 17th, only on odx.tv. And you have to join us as a stage 2 or 3 member to have access. You are not going to want to miss this. This is an exclusive early release of the first 4 episodes. And again, you have to be a stage 2 or 3 member of odx.tv to have access to the full 1 hour episodes. Also, by the way, FYI, that also happens to be Davy Crockett's birthday, which is a very special day to Pastor Troy. We're going to hear a little bit more about that in a second, but welcome, my friends. I am Shay Wilbur, the media director of all things TBM, Troy Brewer Ministries of this house. And guess what? You saw it on the thumbnail. Pastor Troy and Leanna, they are back in the U.S. from Africa. They have made it. It was such a journey. He will be joining us here in just a minute. Literally, he's going to be joining us today. So don't worry. It's not just me here. We've also got Pastor Ryan in the studio and Pastor Rebecca for some exciting ministry updates that you don't want to miss. And since today is 8-11, Romans 8-11 reminds us that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the resurrection power. And that is the kind of faith that we're stepping into today. So I hope you're ready for it. We've got a lot to unpack. So let's jump in. Guys, how are you in studio here?
I'm great. Great.
You're good?
Yeah. Glad everybody's back.
Well,
I've been
listen,
waiting and praying. It's
about
time everybody's back.
Yeah. Now, Pastor Troy is not back in the studio, but he is back in the States and he is back on Zoom and he's looks like he's pulled over on the side of the road somewhere. Pastor Troy, are you with us?
Look.
Yo.
No. It's good to see you. It's good to see you.
We miss you.
You guys ought to miss me. You better miss
me. We do miss you.
So where are you right now? You're literally in the car going somewhere or stopping somewhere.
Yeah, I got in last night. And so we had all this morning. I'm with a good friend of mine and a guy on my security team, one of our operators. And I was like, hey, man. We're only an hour and a half away from Gettysburg. Let's go up there and spend the morning at the Gettysburg battlefield and we'll pray strategic prayers. And man, we've been doing that. And so I'm literally in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow. Well, thank you for taking time to check in with us because we know it was such a saga. I think, honestly, I will say the whole world, I think, was following along from your trip home from Africa. I don't know if we've ever had so much engagement across our Facebook pages with all of your updates that you were giving us. So, I mean, just catch us up with you, Pastor. I know you've got so much going through your spirit right now, even just to get here, to get back to the States.
Yeah, well, I haven't made it home yet. So I will. I should be there tonight about, I don't know. Leanna's going to be here in about an hour and a half, and then she's got to go through CDC. The Department of Health actually called me today and followed up. Do you have a runny nose? Are you
really?
Good? No, we want to make sure you don't have a bullet. It's just a bunch of political bullshit.
No way.
I'm like, no, and I didn't offer. I have been hanging out with a bunch of people with leprosy, and y'all never been concerned with that, which is true. I was with Richard and some of our guys. I mean, you know, their body parts are falling off, you know, by the moment. But everybody wants to know if I've got a runny nose. So honestly, while there was kind of a saga kind of getting home, and while we still have teams in Uganda, it's no big deal. It's really not. What is a big deal is what all we were able to accomplish and the fruit of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus did and the kids that we've rescued and the amazing missionary team that was with us. Mm. I got so much, man, to tell you guys about that. And while I was there, you know, last week we got tons of reports. You guys saw the pictures last week of all those girls that we rescued in the Dominican Republic. We funded that. And now those girls are actually been sent back to their homes and to their families.
Wow. In
Colombia. And I mean, I don't know another ministry in the world, man, that gets to say things like that. And so it's just incredible.
Wow. That's awesome. I love that you were able to see Richard. How's Richard doing?
He's a crotchety old goat, to tell you the truth. You know, he's kind of a rude dude in a crude mood, and I like him like that. I like crotchety old goats. I'm like, Richard, I've missed you so much. He's like, you know, we're all ready to have this big reunion, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
But dude, he's been ostracized his whole life. He's had, you know, leprosy since he's a teenager.
Wow.
And, you know, he's older than I am. And gosh, but he's doing great, and his brother is doing great, and they're doing awesome, and they trust us, and they love us, and they have housing, and they've never had housing before. They were literally just sleeping on the ground, and so we rounded them all up. You know, there's only 11 cases in all of Uganda that is known of leprosy, and we actually have 7 of them. So we're rounding them up, putting them in housing. We're treating them like kings. They get to sleep in beds. They are secure. Nobody can attack them. They're loved. They're fed. We have a church there, and that is such a fun church. And it's just amazing. Yeah, so praise God.
Wow. So it sounds like there are so many highlights of the trip. If you could, I know when you get here tomorrow, we're going to sit you down and we're going to go through all your pictures and we're just going to let you go. And I can't wait to hear from you. So guys, don't miss the polls tomorrow because it's going to be good. Pastor Troy is going to actually be here. So that's going to be awesome. But if you could just tell us a few, just like high level, your favorite moments from the trip, what stands out to you the most?
Well, you know, I was telling everybody, hey, man, you got to have your takeaway. Mm-hmm. And all the trouble we had getting home doesn't ruin our takeaway. That's just world travel now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny. I want to, before I tell you my highlight, Shay, I want to tell you, when I wrote that thing, I was just wanting, you know, what I call a bump. You know, hey, I need to let everybody know, you know, what we're doing and how we're doing and the trouble we're having getting home. I meant it to be very funny. I meant it to be, and I think it's a funny
It was hilarious.
I thought it was good. And I just wanted it to be funny. I wanted it to be lighthearted. But most people that saw that, the hundreds of thousands of people that saw that, what they got out of it is we were going through a really hard time. And that was not what I was trying to express. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to express that you got to be an overcomer. It was the first time in 31 years of traveling to Uganda that we've ever had that particular issue.
Yeah.
But we always, you know, there's always something going on, and you just got to, we didn't mind sleeping on the floor at the airport. We just crashed. Yeah. Everybody just found a spot and everybody crashed and everybody went to sleep. And then when they woke us up and told us to go home that we weren't able to get on the plane, we're like, okay, well, that stinks. But everybody was laughing about it. You know, it was no big deal. We were all fine. And everybody, we even had contingency plans. Like, if the United States will not let us go back in, let's hop on a plane. Let's go to Istanbul. And we'll go to Ephesus. And then maybe we'll go over to Israel. I mean, we got options, you know.
Yeah.
And we can reach people for Jesus and feed people.
So
and,
cool.
yeah. and we have teams all over the world. And some of the guys that were part of my security, they know people all over the world. And like, let's go rescue some rescuers. Let's find out what they're doing and let's see what we can do to support them. So there was not a crisis. Mm-hmm. And I want to express that. And I didn't mean to write that to make people think that we were in a crisis. But dude, my phone blew up with people that were really worried about us. I'm like, oh, you know what? That's not what I intended.
Yeah.
Because we were fine. We were fine the whole time.
Wow. I think just from working with you, I knew what you meant. And I laughed out loud at a couple of the parts.
I know.
and then we joked when you said that you actually made it through security. You put in your post, you know, I'm sure when they do my health check, they're going to determine that I'm the perfect specimen of an American.
Exactly.
So I'm glad that they did that.
They used my body scan, you know, for history, you know, they're going to put it in classrooms and say, this is what a 59-year-old man should look like.
That's hilarious.
But no, you know what? It was fine. It's just fine. It was just very inconvenient.
Yeah.
But so what? It's all good. I mean, the things that stand out to me was there are literally thousands of stories we could tell. Literally thousands of stories. And if just one of those things would have happened, it would have been worth going over there. If just one of those things. There were miracles that happened. We started. We broke ground for the new school for the blind. And oh my gosh, George, man, we just loved that little boy so
Oh,
much. And
yeah.
we went and got him and told him, okay, I got good news. What we're building a special school just for you, and we're going to invite other blind kids there, and we're going to have special teachers just for blind kids. And we're also going to have a music school. And we're gonna do fun things. I brought a guitar, so I busted out my guitar. He's never experienced a guitar before. He
Wow.
certainly has never experienced like dueling banjos and hillbilly music. And I had him put his hands on the guitar so that he could feel the vibrations. And
Wow.
then I play guitar and I sang, and we did that. And he said, in this key, he said, let me praise the Lord. And it
No.
was in a perfect key of D. And he started singing this Ugandan worship song that
What?
was so beautiful. And I figured it out. And he immediately, I mean, just in the short time that I was with him, he figured out, oh, I see. Okay, I understand how this instrument works. Please play this. I want to sing it. He said, Papa Troy, play this song. And so I played guitar and he started singing worship songs. And God, it was so beautiful, man. It was crazy. And then
Wow.
actually taking him to the land and saying, do you feel this dirt? Pick up this dirt. We have bought this 20 acres and we're going to have a home just for blind kids. And then we're going to have a home for deaf kids. And then we're going to have a home for kids that are missing arms and legs. There's so many there. And then we're going to have a home for children that are mentally handicapped. And then their parents will be able to go to work. And then they will be around Jesus people 24 hours a day. And there's no telling how many of those kids are going to get healed, man.
Wow.
So we dedicated the water well while we were there, and it's good clean water. And now we're in the process. Now, man, we got to build a school. It was, again, that was one fraction of one day, and we were there for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And yeah.
And you don't even seem that tired. I'm like shocked that you're even awake and you're like touring around Gettysburg today and you're not just like laid out in your hotel room with the door closed and the lights off.
Well, I've had a look. All right, let me take off my glasses here. Let me do this thing right. My
Oh, you look
God,
good.
hey,
Uh-oh, this is how you
let's just.
actually
There it
feel.
is.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I promise you,
Everything's
I'm fine.
fine.
Everything's fine, man. No, man, it's okay. It's all good, man. I travel a lot, and we had a, we had our 15-hour flight yesterday, and we've been at the airport for a long time, and been on a 5.5-hour flight before that, yeah, it's just traveling, man. It's all good. It really is good. We're fine.
So is there anything, and again, I know we're gonna do a deep dive in this tomorrow, but if there I'm sure every time you come back with new projects for us to talk about, to raise funds for, to believe God for. Is there something kind of new on the horizon that you're excited about that we can all get excited about with you?
There's so many things. There's so many things. We one of the really cool things that we did was we gathered up. Okay, so let me back up. The year before last, we were in the west part of the country, and we were near the Wrabenzori Mountains. And I was driving along, and the Spirit of the Lord said, "Look, Troy." And I just looked out the window, and there were all these blue tarps. And I asked the guy driving, I said, "Bro, what are all those blue tarps out there?" And he said, "Oh, those are the refugees." And I said, "What
Oh, yeah.
refugees?" And he said, "It's the people from the Congo that lost everything in the flooding." And I said, "Stop, let's go there." And so we went. We bought, I don't know, like 500 pounds of rice and beans, and we bought a whole bunch of stuff. Let's just go from tarp to tarp and let's hear their story, and let's pray for people. And what we found was nearly every girl that was above the age of 10 or 11 was pregnant.
Yeah.
The Muslims had owned them. The Muslims had taken advantage of them and were selling them. The kids were being trafficked. The women were vulnerable. There was a bunch of widowers there who were trying to take care of their kids, and they would have to go and work during the day, and then terrible things would happen to them because they literally just lived on the ground. And these are good, smart people that lost everything, and they just didn't have any other place to go. So what we did was we bought another 20 acres.
Wow.
And we rounded up all of those people. We put them on buses. We moved them about 300 miles to what we call Redemption Village. And we moved them there. And by the time that they got there, we had a water well and we had a big bunch of latrines made. It was the first thing that we did because we didn't want those people getting sick. And it's so important that they have clean water and they have a clean place to go to actually use a bathroom. And so we did that first. What we have done since then is we have actually built all these houses and we put those people in houses.
Wow.
While we were there. And dude, they're in beautiful, beautiful, nice houses.
Yeah.
So that their kids will not be trafficked by Muslims. Wow. I mean, come on, you know? And so now you can restart. It's okay. Yeah. So our car died. And so, yeah. So on this trip, we moved eight families into their forever homes, and we heard their stories. And my God, y'all, I just can't tell you how important it is. I just cannot tell you. It is so important. And so I gave the okay to build eight more. And these homes are $30,000 a piece. And you're like, oh, it's just a $30,000 house. It would be a, I don't know, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 house in Texas, maybe even more than that. And that's not counting the land. But they're beautiful and they're safe. They're secure. They're clean. They're wonderful in every way. And I gave the okay for that. Now, next after coming up with that, you know, we have the school we need to build there because none of those kids are in school. Mm. And then we're also going to build the medical clinic and we're also going to build the church. For all of that, for the remaining structures and the additional housing we need there is around $400,000 to $450,000. And guys, we have to get that done.
Yeah.
And I'm already saying yes to all of it. There is a flag in the ground that says Jesus has seen these people and Jesus has rescued them. And we have to do that thing right. And we got to get that thing finished.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, PT.
Yo.
Question for me. I know we were talking a little bit yesterday. There's some things that are uncertain in the present, but we talked about yesterday and I asked you, what are you absolutely sure of right now? Whenever you look at all that God's doing and you have this place of confidence, not in yourself, not in our ability, but our confidence in Jesus, what can you share with everybody that you are so certain of that God is speaking and saying and doing right now? Where's your confidence rooted?
And I love that question. And you know, whenever we're talking about supernatural confidence because of your experience with the Lord, we're talking about the gift of faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about faith unto salvation. We're talking about the gift of faith.
Yes.
Which is the work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that comes from experience with God. That's where the gift of faith comes from. And it comes from a supernatural confidence in the character of God and living with him long enough and having the experience with him that you know that you know that you know this. Here's what I know, brother. I know, number one, you're an awesome preacher and you did a great job while I was gone.
Bless you.
Yeah,
man.
I praise God for that, man. Good.
Well, as one of the guys who taught me how to preach. Thank you.
Thank you for being teachable, bro. But I know that this is the work of the Lord. I know that God will bless it.
Yes.
I know that he will show up in our midst when it doesn't benefit us in any way whatsoever. But it only benefits Jesus where we actually prove that we are the friends of God and we love who God loves and we do everything that we can do. I know that God shows up in the midst of it. I know that he blesses it. I know that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit is evident everywhere you go.
Yes.
You can see more miracles. You can see more of the power of God. You can see God do more things through selfless acts of redemption and just demonstrating the heart of the Father. You see people instantly get saved. People instantly get healed. People are like, okay, I see Jesus in this because this doesn't come from Uganda. This does not come from America. This does not come from Texas.
Yes.
This comes from heaven and Jesus sees me.
I know that this is my calling. I know that this is our calling as a ministry. And I know that there's a greater role for the body of Jesus to play when it comes to doing this thing. And I know that God Almighty will bless it. He will fund it. He will do all the stuff if we will just, you know, just do our little part and put our foot on the ground and say, as of this day, Jesus says, you are seen and you are no longer vulnerable. So you will be sheltered. You will be fed. You will, all the things, you will be educated. And this is God's will. This is God's heart. And his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven.
Shay just gave me the go ahead. I got to pull some more out. Okay. So one of the things that you said yesterday too was about you were willing on this trip to have open conversations about what matters, but also to have open conversations about what doesn't matter. Okay. So anybody who's interested in getting involved in this, maybe they're going on their first mission trip. How do you do that? How do you frame that out whenever you're in a ministry environment or you're on a trip like this and you just have say, okay, we're going to talk about what matters, but we're also going to talk about what doesn't matter. How did that go? What can you share on that?
Well, you know from the get-go, especially whenever you travel, that you're going to be involved in lots of things that are beyond your control. All right. Okay? So what you do is you say, Semper Gumby, blessed are the flexible. You're prepared to be, you know, you're prepared to be like the greatest yoga expert on the planet Earth. Wow. And you are going to be flexible and bendable in those kinds of things. And when you're somebody like me that stewards things and you set things up for everything to go a certain way, when it doesn't, you have to be able to fall back and go, okay, this is beyond my control. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be able to carefully define what matters and what does not matter. Whenever I do that at the very beginning, and as I do that all the way through the missions trip, and then at the end, what I'm doing is I'm defining the culture, which is my main responsibility as the leader, is not to micromanage everybody, not to demand everybody do everything the way that I do things. But what I do is I manage outcomes. I'm managing fruit. That's what I'm doing. And so if you're not going to micromanage things, and if you're going to manage fruit, then what you do is you define what matters. Well, you define what the goals are, and then you define what matters and what does not matter, and it's values that actually define culture.
Gosh.
And so my main responsibility as a leader at Open Door Church or Troy Brewer Ministries or Answer International, Spark Worldwide, or the Open Door Food Bank, or the Redemption Ranch, or the missions trips, or whatever, is to say, my chief responsibility as the man of God and as the visionary is to, number one, define the vision as far as the outcome is concerned and the fruit we want to bear. And number two, define the values or the culture that looks more like heaven than it looks like hell.
Yes.
Wow. That is so good.
And if I do that, and if I do my job and do that, then there's incredible unity. Even though there's incredible diversity between us on modes of operation and, hey, where we come from and denominational backgrounds and theological differences, and there's lots of expressions of worship and all those kinds of things, there is unity because we're defining what matters and what does not matter.
That's so Pastor, good. The church is growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, globally and locally, the pulse is growing. Mm-hmm. We have so many people that are joining in, a lot of familiar names. We have people from... maybe they don't call Open Door their church home, but they've gotten involved in this. They want to get involved in what you're doing. If somebody was like, what's my entry point? We have a bunch of faithful people who are on here every week, but if somebody's joining for the first time, they're hearing about you for the first time, what would be a great entry point, a good first step for them? How would you invite them to get involved today?
First and foremost, man, just get plugged into our tribe. Yeah, I mean, you watch the pulse. You begin to become interested in what we're interested in. You begin to appreciate the fact that we're a very different kind of ministry and very different church. We don't think the most important thing in the entire world is that you show up for church and hear me preach.
Yes.
We think the most important thing in the whole world is that you experience Jesus in whatever it is that we're doing. And then the second thing is we preach and we do church to do this. So we don't just preach the gospel of Jesus. We demonstrate the gospel of Jesus. Okay. And we go about doing good everywhere we go. And then we try and be like Jesus, that we can point to everything we do. And we say the kingdom of heaven looks just like that.
Amen. Amen.
And most, I want to say, there's a lot of ministries that can't do that. They can point to their faithfulness and preaching the gospel, but they can't just point anywhere and say the kingdom of heaven looks just like that.
Come on.
You see that child was homeless. Do you see that person? That person had cancer. Do you see that woman over there? She was a widow. And we ourselves are, you see that child? That child was a child sex slave. And now that child sits at the table with our family. Mm-hmm. This is the role of the body of Jesus, so as far as we're concerned. And I think the first thing you do is you confront your own American culture that says, these are the things that are really important. Okay, we don't say the same things that the American church says are really important. Mm-hmm. Well, it's important that everybody has the same haircut. It's important that nobody has tattoos. Well, it's really important that there's no, you know, that there's a clean, everything is clean and that everything is board and that everything is board approved. Those things are not important to us. Wow. Those things are not our values. Mm-hmm. Our values are lives being transformed in very practical ways. Where it looked like hell, now it looked like now it looks like heaven.
Wow.
And so I would say the first thing is to actually get plugged into who we are, what we do, what we say, and then see how you can get involved personally. Personally, meaning you can show up for the food bank, you can come to our services and begin to have your own community and begin to be a part of the community however you can. Mm-hmm. And if you don't live near us, then call the number.
Yes.
Call the number, join odx.tv and become a part of that community. Chime in on the chats everywhere that you are, share this thing. Mm-hmm. And then the next time we have an ODX meeting, come out and join that.
Please.
And the next time we go on a missions trip, join that. And the next time that you know, we have some kind of get together, join that. Next time we have a conference, join those things. And from there, be a part of your own little community within us. And then you go do the kingdom stuff right where you're at.
Amen.
And let's all do this thing together.
Mm. It's so refreshing, Pastor. I love, it's such a unique heart that this ministry has. And it shouldn't be unique, to be honest. But it seems like these days more people want to debate theology and talk about, like, you know, this is what the church needs to look like this, and we believe this and this and this and this. And I just love that we're just doing stuff. We're being the hands and feet of Jesus. I love that even while you guys were delayed, that you were thinking, hey, okay, well, if we can't go to the U.S., where else can we rescue the rescuer? Mm-hmm. Where else can we be the hands and feet of Jesus? Because the work is never finished. There is always more to do. And it's just so exciting to be plugged into this tribe. So for anyone who is watching for the first time, and you're like, I don't know how I ended up here. Well, God brought you here for a purpose.
Yes.
And you are with people who are about doing the real work and getting our hands dirty. And it's a fun place to be. And I meet so many people, Pastor, who have followed you for a long time, who have followed you even before I came a part of this team. Mm-hmm. And they all say, man, I've just always loved Pastor Troy and Leanna because they do the work. They don't wait for other people to do it. You don't wait until you have a $3 million in your bank account. If you see a need, you say yes. And you're like, you know what? God's going to provide and we're going to do it. And thank you for bringing us all along with you and for teaching us that, because there aren't a lot of people like you guys.
Oh, well,
it's true.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I mean, don't get me wrong, guys. I mean, if you come hang out with us for very long, you'll find out how flawed we are.
Yeah.
Because we are flawed. But listen, real. We're not trying to be flawless. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to be flawless. We're trying to be fruitful.
Hey, PT,
that's somebody what it is we make a big deal out of. We make a big deal out of being fruitful. We do not make a big deal out of being flawless because we can't be. And so we're all just normal people doing silly stuff, but God Almighty is doing amazing things with it. And so I don't know. I'm just really encouraged. I see the difference we're making, and I'm like, my gosh, look at what the Lord has done. I want to live every day of my life and be able to say, look at what the Lord has done for the rest of my life, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, PT, you've said it for years that we do this so we can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be healthy all over the place. Hey, I wanted to let you know, somebody, while you were talking, somebody gave a gift of $100 while you were just
way
sharing.
To go.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, thank you for helping
somebody,
us.
Somebody
thank
named Anonymous. Somebody, how many Anonymous? There's a bunch of Anonymouses out there.
Yes.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anonymous. That is so good. Bless you, man. Jesus knows you and he sees you.
Yes, thank you for doing that.
And on behalf of all the kids that we're rescuing and the babies we're rescuing and all the mamas we're rescuing and all the rescuers we are rescuing, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for standing with us. That's amazing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, I know that you're pulled over on the side of the road. You are what, like, we want to hear from you as long as you want to, mm-hmm. but I want to let you know if you need to go, we can let you go. I just want to
give you
five
more minutes.
Five more minutes.
And then I gotta bail back and I gotta go pick up Leanna.
Okay.
She's actually landing an hour from now, but she has to go through CDC and it takes a little bit. So, and I'm about an hour and 20 minutes out, something like that. So, okay.
Cool. Well, Rebecca had a question for you, Rebecca.
Hey, Pastor.
Okay. So, hey, darling, how are you?
We miss you. We love you. So I have a
Thank
question.
Thank you. I miss you and love you too.
In our daily work, and also you demonstrate this so beautiful, and you already, Pastor Ryan already kind of asked this, but I wanted to ask more deep. But in your daily life, when our plans suddenly change and life doesn't look anything like we expected, how do we stay close to Jesus, remain grounded, and keep our peace and composure instead of allowing unexpected to shake us?
Well, one thing you got to do is you got to get old, because when I was young, I had no patience for anything.
Oh, okay. Man, get old.
Sorry.
I don't want to get old.
It
helps to just live a while and then you'll go, okay, I have enough experience to know whatever. So, okay, look, so you guys know what a planner I am, and you guys know how much stuff I'm involved in.
Yes, sir.
And which means I plan, man. I'm a planner. I'm like, wake up every single morning thinking, okay, what is my list? I'm going to get this done, that done, this done, that done. But in the midst of all that, there's a lot of humanity. There is a lot of moving parts. And here's the way I put it. If I plan and plan and plan, and it doesn't go the way that I planned, the first thing that I rest in is knowing this. I did that unto the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah,
it was not a waste of time.
Amen.
That's good.
It's not a waste of time, man. It's part of your stewardship. And so, I wasted 25 hours preparing this sermon and I didn't preach a second of it. And that happens. Spirit of the Lord will move in a different way.
True.
But I did that unto the Lord. I did that unto the Lord. And it's the same way, man, with running businesses and running ministries. You plan and plan and plan. Then when something unforeseen changes things, what you fall back onto is that my times are in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah.
You fall back onto the Lord will direct my steps in the midst of this. You fall back onto the peace of, hey, I'd planned for things to go this way, but it didn't. But Jesus was going to be with me in that. Jesus is going to be with me on this. So then if I cannot maintain the situation, I have to maintain my character.
Yes.
Wow.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. Yeah. So look,
really
when we were at the airport a couple of days ago, and we didn't know if we were going to be back or not, or when we were going to be able to come back.
Wow.
And we were, sleeping on the floor at the airport, waiting for something that didn't happen, waiting to get back on the plane so that we could go to Qatar. We could go to Doha. And that never happened because the plane, they were saying it was mechanical difficulties, but one of our operators was telling me that he was talking to some guys, and because he's an intelligence guy, he said, actually there was some kind of a threat. He believes that there was some kind of a security threat.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, well, praise God that they kept us off the plane.
Yeah.
And so, I was planning on being in a different country today, but I'm here. What do you do? Well, do they have a coffee bar? Because I'd like to have some nice coffee. Thank you very much. Do they have any food?
It's the little things.
It's like, yes, exactly right. Is there an air conditioner in the hotel we're going to stay at? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to maintain my character in the midst of things that I cannot maintain. And then God moves.
Amen.
And it's like, that's not a time for me and Leanna to have a marriage crisis because we're upset because we wanted to get home. Well, there's nothing we can do about it. So we go, man, there's nothing we can do about it. So we might as well have a good time. Here we go. This is going to be awesome. And just like, hey, man, thank you. And I went to every single person and said, thank you guys for being so flexible. And awesome. I'm very sorry that this has happened. And everybody was like, Pastor, it's all good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Again, maintaining that culture of the Lord is with
us.
That's
so good.
So let's find somebody and let's lead them to Jesus. Hey, let's feed somebody. Mm. Let's do something awesome.
Yes.
That's so good. That was so convicting to me personally. I'm still just that maintaining your character when you can't maintain the circumstances around you is so key. And I'm still like, that's going to sit with me. And it's such a, I don't know. It's, I'm still there. I'm still on that comment.
Yeah.
Well, it's thank so you. Good. Well, listen, maintaining the circumstances is about what you do outward. Maintaining your character is about what you do inward.
Yeah.
And we serve the Lord both ways.
Right. Okay. It's so good. And so,
that is good. Okay. You need to preach on that.
You're
one.
Preaching, right, Pastor? This is so preach. Good.
Yes.
And what's really cool also is that you were able to model that mm-hmm. and teach yes. that to yeah. our whole team, around there. Because what happens if you were in that moment and you were one of those pastors mm-hmm. or people who were just hot-headed, who in the moment got frustrated or just became a diva and were like, you know what? We've been here. We're exhausted. We've been yeah. out here. We've been working for 2.5 weeks. We're tired. We just went like, what would have happened if you would have been that guy?
You ruined the fruit.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Jeez. And that's, again, why you make a big deal out of fruit instead wow. so of good. Everything has to go perfect. It doesn't so got to be good. Flawless. It does, man, you're constantly thinking about fruit. You know, you're constantly thinking about, hey, man, I want there to be lasting fruit yeah, in this. Absolutely. And I'm telling you right now, Shay, there is lasting fruit.
Amen.
Even right now, Daryl and Mindy and Anna Banana and a couple of other people they're still in Uganda and wow. they can't get home yet.
Wow.
And they're like, okay, well, go get a hotel. We have George, my son George is over there. My son Sharif, those guys are still on the clock and they will drive you around. They will help you. You are protected. You're safe. Go do something for the Lord and you guys have a great time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'll see you guys in a few days. And they're like, okay, see you. Bye. And there you go. And that's it.
That's wow. That's awesome. Well, Pastor, thank you for pulling over on the side of the road and just, you know, just dropping some truth bombs that now we're going to be digesting for the next week. I see all the people in the comments are like, wow, preach,
so good.
Preach, no bruising or ruining fruit. We've got people from Argentina, South Africa. Hopefully our friend Marvin is watching from Uganda. I love that video you sent, Pastor.
Yeah, let me tell you, man, Marvin loves you too, Shay.
Marvin. You. Hopefully I'll get to meet you in person sometime.
Yes.
Marvin, I want to tell you Marvin's story just a little bit. Marvin he's in his 20s. He's good looking. He's a genius. He's smart. He loves Jesus. He's actually going to college to be a surgeon.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was rescued when he was 5 years old.
No way.
Yeah, he was rescued when he was 5 years old. You know, the guy that runs our homes in the northern part of the nation, his name is Pastor David Musichwa. And because Marvin didn't have a tribe and he didn't even have a clan, which means he didn't have a last name. Wow. Okay, their clan is their last name. Pastor David just said, I'll make you a Musichwa. And he did. And he did what I did. What I've done.
I love that.
And he's like, I would just give you my name. If you have no name at all, and if you don't know what last name you want, I'll just give you my name. And so Marvin is one of my favorite sons. He watches. I'm sure he's watching right now. And he is an extraordinary human being. And I got to hang out with Marvin quite a bit.
I love him. I love our Ugandan family. I saw a lot of our familiar faces. And Bridget, I got to see in some of the pictures too. And man, we wish that we could have been there with you. So hopefully on one of these trips, we'll get to,
Bridget hung out with us the whole time. Bridget was actually in the Miss Universe pageant again.
Yeah.
Yes.
She got Miss Congeniality.
I know.
Of course she did.
Of course she did.
She's a brewer at heart.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, and I don't even know what congeniality means. I thought it was like some kind of infection or something.
That's true.
It's
like something you get, something the CDC checks you for.
Well, clearly you didn't see the chick flick, Miss Congeniality. Exactly. Because that's a classic.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yeah, you missed that one. That was a good
movie. I miss that movie.
That's awesome.
It is not on my to watch list, but here I am out at Gettysburg Gap Battlefield and we're talking about Miss Congeniality. So anyway, but I mean, she's literally the face of Uganda. Yeah. I mean, she is the beautiful face of Uganda and she's one of our girls and I just love her so much and I just praise God for her. So yeah, we're just guys, again, we're producing such world changing people and that's the fruit. Mm. That's the proof that Jesus shows up and rescues people. Yes. And it's just beautiful. So guys, I need to let you guys go. I got to get on the road and I love y'all.
Thank you, Pastor.
Love you.
You guys pray us all the way in.
Yes.
We still got one more flight to go this afternoon. Y'all pray that Leanna gets all the way through customs and all the way through the CDC.
Yes.
And that Megan and Sophie do the same. And our big group, we had a big group that went to Houston last night, and they got all the way through. And I mean, like, even today, man, they're calling us. I mean, they're monitoring us, making sure, you know, that none of us are Typhoid Mary and that we're not spreading something. So,
well, we're glad that you're good. We're glad that you made it back. And we will see you in person tomorrow here.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. May the Lord bless you. I love you guys.
All right, we love you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my like, literally, that was so good.
I know.
I feel like I'm still digesting what he was saying.
Just seeing his, like, his composure and his, there's a glow, like, we're chatting, that there's, like, the supernatural glow.
Yeah.
And you could just see the Holy Spirit all
you know,
over
people always wonder when you see leaders, what are they really like? Mm-hmm. I wonder that when I see a pastor, someone that I follow, someone that I really admire on the stage, and I love their preaching. You wonder what they're like not on the stage. Yes. Like, are they, and especially ones that have huge churches or big followings or whatever. Like, you know, you just wonder, like, are they a diva? What are they really like? Mm-hmm. You know, does the character match
that was a good
what you see from stage? And I just think it's so, it truly is. And I'm not, like, trying to toot their horns just to do it. But it's very unique to be in a place where truly they just are modeling the heart of God and doing the work, and I just love it.
Yeah, I mean, what you're doing right now, that's it's not that you're building him up, but what you are doing is what we're responsible for, that whenever we see the semblance of Jesus in another person's life, it's my responsibility to help call that out.
Yeah.
If I see
if you
him
see
in
it,
you,
say it. Yeah.
And if I can hear his voice in what you're saying, it's my responsibility to encourage you and affirm it and call it out. And so that's what you're doing.
Well, and two, again, it was so convicting to me personally, because I'm like, if I was him leading that group and I just know myself and my flesh and how tired, like, oh my gosh, delays at airports can truly bring out the worst in someone. And especially, you know, you're traveling with your kids and you're doing like all the things and the uncertainty. But just to have the attitude and then go around to all the team and say, thank you guys for being here. Like,
that is so good.
That sets the tone.
Yes.
Like the tone of the leadership, it sets the culture, it sets everything. And it could have steered that ship in a totally different direction. But instead, you know, it went in the direction of fruit, and it allowed fruit to continue.
Yeah, and for that trip and for him, I mean, you can hear the wholeness in his voice. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel divided. He's not feeling the pressure of having to be five different places at once.
Right.
You know, he can be there. And that's a great lesson for all of us to take. So even wherever you're at, be where the Lord has you. And the Lord prepared him for this trip.
Absolutely.
And the Lord prepared him on this trip for his return.
Mm-hmm.
So this trip really prepared him for what's next. And it makes me excited about what's next for the ministry.
Yeah.
So good.
I can't wait to hear about the fruit, too.
I'm excited about the fruit. Yeah. That's just the main.
I mean, we've seen so many pictures, and like he said, there's thousands of stories, but like each photo has, you know, God knows how long of a story that goes along with it. So tomorrow, the plan is to like literally connect an iPad, let him go through and just like talk.
Mm-hmm.
And we can just be over here with popcorn, listening to all the things that we get to be a part of. It's so cool.
Yeah, the three of y'all talking about how many stories and him saying, I could just go on for days. There's this part in John where it says, you know, if everything was recorded that Jesus did, then the world wouldn't be able to hold all the books that would be written.
Yeah.
You see how that starts to make sense when on, you know, a 2-week trip in Africa, you're like, we could talk about years for this.
Yeah.
If we talked about everything that Jesus did, of course we wouldn't have enough room for all the books written. So it's exciting, but y'all joining in, thank y'all for celebrating this and praying, and thank y'all for encouraging him. And thank you for starting to understand in a real way just how much of a part that all of us have to play in this. And
absolutely.
I know y'all can speak to that a big deal of people that have been faithful for years.
Yeah. And so I also want to let you guys know, if you have questions for Pastor Troy about this trip or about anything that he said, or, you know, spiritual advice related to some of the stuff that we've even unpacked today, get them ready, because he's going to be here tomorrow. If things go how they were hoping that they go, I guess we should say, they're going to be flying back tonight, and I don't know how he does it, but he might be a little tired or ragged out, as he says. Maybe we'll get the crazy Troy hairdo tomorrow because he's going to be so tired. We'll see, but he's going to be here. And so if you have questions, guys, you know, he loves hearing from you. That's why we do these shows live, because he loves to be able to interact. So keep the questions coming if you've got them. And if we see any today, then we'll pull those as well. But man, it's going to be a good show tomorrow. And then tomorrow night at Open Door Church, we have our Wednesday night service, and it's a next gen service, right?
It is, yes. Next gen. And he's coming in at a good time. He's coming in with a back to school bash type energy.
Oh, yeah. Hannah's our back to school bash. Yeah,
so we just want to encourage y'all, if you're local Dallas Fort Worth area, or if you want to drive a little further, depending on when your school starts, having a massive back to school bash tomorrow night. Praise and worship here at Open Door, which is my favorite praise and worship on the planet. We're going to have some testimonies that kids and our students are going to be sharing. And then, guys, bring the whole family. We're going to have an incredible prayer experience and prophetic activation for the school year that's going to take place right here at Open Door in Burleson. And then we're going to release a little bit early, Shay, and then we've got a whole bunch of food and games and drinks, and we're just going to have a fun time before school gets started. So,
well, again, wow, that speaks to the heart of this house. It's like, you know, and Pastor Troy jokes about it, how people will say, like, well, you know, I see y'all doing stuff for the people in Africa. What are you doing for people here? And it's like, here's an example.
That's great.
Like, we have our food bank. We have our food bank. We have our homeless ministry, our homeless outreach. And we have stuff like this many times throughout the year where we reach out to the community, even right around us. And we have thousands of people that come to this.
That's right. Yeah. And even tomorrow, you know, Pastor Candace and Aubrey and Olivia, they've been packing little back to school prayer bags, which are really cool. I saw some of them. So please, y'all, that's come. You definitely want one of these bags. I'm going to get one for Sloan. I know y'all's kids are going to come away with them.
They're going to pray for the children,
right? And so Pastor Candace has gone through all of our students, all of our kids. She's printed off names. And so everybody has a name that they can pray for over the school year. We've seen it at camp. We've seen it at other stuff. So please, if you're local, come and join. Please come and join us. It's going to be awesome. Come pray as the whole family. And we'll have a lot of fun celebrating. I'm so excited about this school year.
Yeah.
Like this summer went really well. We have some of our teenagers are upset about going back to school. And what they told me was, because they've had such a great summer, why can't we just keep going to camp? Why can't we just do an outreach? I'm like, we can, but you have to go to school.
Yeah. The school is their mission field now.
Exactly.
So it's like, let the school, and that's something too, that like, as a parent, I've been really convicted of. And you know, I don't know if I shared this on the Pulse, but I went, you know, I was at a conference a couple weeks ago and I was reminded by one of the speakers, you know, and again, it seems like a duh kind of thing of like, yes, we need to be bringing our kids along with us as we're deepening our faith. Like, we need to remind our kids, hey, God has a calling for your life too.
Yes.
And I remember as a kid feeling that weight. I don't know if that's the right word, but like, that I had that understanding of God has called me to something. And then I thought, do my kids have that understanding? Love I communicated that to my kids, that like God has something special for them? Like, yeah, we go to church. Yeah, we pray as a family, but God has something for you.
Yes.
And so it was so cool because I went home and you know this, Rebecca. And that night when I was tucking Shiloh into bed, who's seven, I said, I forget how I was even wording it. I said, you know, as I was praying for him, I said, you know, God has a special purpose for your life, for you. And he said, Mom, what's purpose mean? And I was like, well, it means that God called you to do something very special that only you can do. And so when you say, yes, I'm going to follow God, and yes, God's going to be my heart, that's you're giving yourself over to God's purpose. And you're saying, God, yes, I want to follow you. And he's asked the Lord in his heart before, but he's seven. So he probably didn't when he was four. He said, well, can I just make sure that Jesus is in my heart? Wow. And I was like, of course, of course. So like, we prayed the prayer again, which we had prayed years before, but we prayed the prayer. And after we were done, he just turned and gave me the biggest hug. Like I was, of course, like, crying and like the longest hug, like didn't let go. And then when he did finally let go, he had the biggest
smile
on his face, like a true inside out smile. And I was like, what are you feeling? Like, why are you smiling? He's like, I just feel free. That's what he said. And I was like, oh my goodness. It was the most precious moment. And then the next morning, you know, we were doing something, he started acting up and I was like, remember, Jesus is in your heart. You're following Jesus now. He's like, oh, sorry, Mom, I forgot. And he like snapped back. It was the cutest thing. But it just, I think it's good to sometimes as a parent have these reminders to remind your kids when it's back to school time or like, hey, this isn't just a faith for me and you're not just copying me. Yes. I don't want my kids to be copying me. I want my kids to have an understanding that God's called you to do something very specific.
So good.
To talk to your friends, to be, oh, and that's what, another thing we were talking about is, you know, he was like, well, so how do I tell other people about Jesus, about God? And I was like, well, you can even tell them what you just told me, that when you prayed and asked Jesus in your heart that you felt free, that you felt later.
So good.
And that
so good.
He protects you and he's always with you and you're never alone. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was just encouraging him, like, hey, this is how you can talk to other kids about Jesus.
Wow. Well, y'all's boys had good summers. I saw your son at VBS. I was with your son at Keene. Oh, yeah. They had great summers.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, Shay, somebody in the comments brought up the planetary alignment that's happening tomorrow. Oh. We got six planets, a whole parade thing.
Oh, yeah.
That is totally something. Please come back and join us tomorrow. Pastor Troy is going to want to speak to that. And he's going to be so excited that you asked him as well. So I know for us locally in our church family and our tribe, the fact that we have so many members of the congregation all coming back at the same time, that's an alignment thing for us. The fact that it's syncing up on that planetary alignment, there's so many things in orbit for us, and Pastor Troy's going to want to speak to that. So we saw that you asked. We acknowledge that you're asking. We're excited that you're asking, but please remember, Pastor Troy's going to be very excited for you to ask him tomorrow, and he's going to have plenty to share on that.
Oh, yeah. And just a reminder, guys, we have our Heavenly Happening series. So we release that every single month.
Good call.
And we talked about the various things that are happening during that planetary alignment. I think it's like a solar eclipse. It's a new moon all at the same time, in addition to the planetary alignment. So if you guys want to know just more from Pastor Troy's perspective, let's have our moderators share the link to our Heavenly Happenings.
Good call.
And guys, we do that every single month. It's a really cool thing. There, I don't think there is one I have not seen one pastor that I have seen or heard of that does a Heavenly Happenings that literally talks about how the skies are declaring the glory of God every single month. And we release that the first of every month on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So if that stuff interests you, go back and watch some of the other ones. It is really, really cool. Has been very eye-opening for me personally. I didn't grow up hearing about this stuff.
Yeah, so. And that's a good call on that stuff. And even if you're like, what are y'all talking about? I have no idea. I've never heard of planetary alignment. I didn't even think that was a prophetic thing. Hey, if you're new to conversations like this, just go ahead and know that where we stand on this, you're joining at the right time.
Absolutely.
You do not have to be a subject matter expert in all this. You just love Jesus. Love the Lord, want his best plans for your life, jump in and be a part of the conversation. Just because you're new doesn't mean that you can't jump in. Please get involved in this. Use it as a personal back to school thing for you. You're totally welcome. There's a place for you. And what Shay was just saying, if you want a great entry point, this is a great way to do it.
Wow. Man, well, I feel like on today's show, we covered, well, we started out by talking about our new show, The Counter, which is dropping.
Oh, yes.
We're doing a special pre-release of our show, the first four episodes only on ODX.TV, but you have to be a stage two or three member to have access to the full 1 hour episodes. So we started talking about that. And that's, you know, doing media. You said it before, we do media so that we can do all of the other things. And when people partner with us at ODX.TV, not only do you have access to new shows like The Counter, but you help us rescue more and more kids all over the world. And, you know, we had our pastor Troy and our whole team coming back from Africa. But guys, they've been rescuing kids for over 30 years and have rescued over 12,000 children and vulnerable from a life that would look very different had they not stepped in and said yes. And not only that, but they have trained so many people like us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this day and age. And it's so important. And again, if this is your first time joining us, this is a really cool show to have be your first one. And I want to encourage you to 100%. Share it with your circle. Share it with those around you. We would love to expand our tribe. This is a very unique crew. Again, I've never seen a group like ours. And I'm so grateful in this day and age when so much gets glorified in the media that that we're a part of a tribe that really keeps the main thing the main thing. We don't get off into this and that. And some of us have different beliefs on different things, but we come together in Jesus and being the hands and feet and actually doing the work. And I just, you can't look at us and say they are just talking the talk. They're not walking the walk. You can't.
Right.
Because I love that Pastor Troy says, like, we're not trying to be perfect. We're flawed. Mm-hmm. Like we are. And when people ask me about what, you know, like, oh, what's your church like? I always tell them it's a church for real people who have lived like this is not a church. It's not a tribe where you have to come and be perfect and have the perfect outfit on and and project the perfect life, the perfect family. No. Like this, there are people who have lived life, who have been through stuff. And if that's you, you're in the right place with people that will walk with you and will not ostracize you and will come alongside you. And I just think it's such a special place to be. So welcome if you're here for the first time. And if you're not, share it with someone else who might need a tribe like ours.
Yeah. And Pastor Troy said it too, you know, take us up on the offer to come to ODX weekend, the next one that we have, you know, the next conference that we have, the next weekend event, the next meetup. You can always check in on where Pastor Troy is going to be traveling and meet up with him. He loves meeting ODX members and people in the community all the time he's traveling, but please join in on an event. And then one more thing, Shay, on that, as the church continues to get healthier for Jesus' return and he comes back for a church that's compatible, hey, if you find yourself in a city or you find yourself in a different part of the country or a different part of the planet, and you're like, man, for right now, like my church home that I'm connected to is this platform. I want you to know you're not doing anything wrong by that.
Correct.
If the Lord has you in a place and you're looking for like-minded people that have a kingdom culture and love Jesus, you're not doing anything wrong by joining in on this to receive your encouragement, to see refreshment, encouragement, cooperation. And then like Pastor Troy said, join in the community that you're at, but you're not doing anything wrong at all by joining in a community with like values that's totally, totally Jesus, totally Bible. You're totally in the right place. So I just want to say for any of you that are joining out that you feel isolated or you feel like you're not a part of what's going on here locally, this platform, the way God's designed this, is that you can join in and be a part of a local healthy church, even if you're joining in online. So I know we have people in Argentina, all over the place, people joining in Africa. Yes. It's the real deal. And honestly, it took me a couple of years to realize that, if I'm being honest. Like the first 2 years of this whole thing, I felt really disconnected from somebody that was like, I'm in Illinois. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, I'm meeting somebody at lunch for Grumps. That's more real to me. It's not like that anymore. Like, the church is getting so healthy right now. Jesus is not changing his mind on how much he loves the bride of Christ. So thank you for joining in wherever you're at. I just wanted to say a big thank you. And thank you for being bold and brave about letting us know what's going on with you.
Esther says, love this so much. So grateful to join live. I'm not local, but would definitely visit
if I were.
Please do.
Yes, please do. But you're just as much a part of our family as those who are here. I mean, we say it like every week when we have our services. I mean, we have just as many people, if not more people, that join us online virtually than actually here. So what we mean it when we say, like, literally our tribe is global, and we view you guys at home just as much a part of our family as those who are here, which is so good. Partially why we have the 24/7 call center. That if you need prayer, if you need just someone to stand with you for any reason, you can call us at 877-413-0888. That's our call center. It's actually on the premises here. It's not like some people that we hire out in another country or something like that. So this is our people. And so we wanted you, that was something that Pastor Troy Lana started years ago. And it's so cool that we have that. And our call center, I'm just so grateful for every single person who serves there because they're it's a ministry. It truly is an extension of what we do. And it's for you guys at home as well. So thank you so much for joining us today. Listen, you're not going to want to miss tomorrow because Pastor Troy is going to be back here, and There's no telling what it's going to be, especially when Pastor Troy's a little tired. He's even more unfiltered. So it's going to be fun. We're going to hear some incredible Holy Spirit stories. Your faith is going to be fueled for sure. You're not going to want to miss it. So same time, same place tomorrow, guys. We will see you then. Until next time, we call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. We'll see you there.
This is Naomi, 16, 8 months pregnant, pulled from a river while running for her life from the evil men who had trafficked her. This is Emily, 15, betrayed by her own father and handed over to one of the most violent trafficking rings upon all the earth. This is Sophie and Anna, 12 and 15, sisters, sold into a life of sexual exploitation by their own mother. And this is Shravani, 8, vulnerable, sleeping on the ground with nobody to fight for. These faces all have one thing in common. They are all set free. And they are just 5 of the 11,000 children that we've rescued all over the world. I'm Troy Brewer, and for over 30 years, my team and I have been rescuing kids from the horrors of human trafficking. And friends, we are not stopping. These are the faces of freedom. Get in the fight with us. Go to troybrewer.com or call 877-413-0888, because there's another face out there right now, another child waiting for someone like you to step up and to say, not on our watch.